me share with you for a few moments from God's Word, and then we'll have a prayer time together. I remember how hard it was to get used to the 2000 mark, and now 15 years later. Let me read this scripture. I'll finish up what I started a little bit, and then I want to give you the next phase of the pictures that I've been sharing with you about Jesus coming, fulfilling Old Testament scriptures. This is from Hebrews chapter number 12. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, it's starting with verse number 25. This is what the Holy Spirit woke me up with, the words coming out of my mouth like nothing I've ever seen in 2015. I was just started to be excited about some wonderful things coming, and they are wonderful things, but my perspective is a little bit warped. I think of wonderful things, the things that please me, things that make me feel good, things that will make me wealthier, things that will tickle my ears. I love those kind of words, but God's heart is different. His ways are not our ways, but we have received Jesus as our Savior. We have the seed of his life within us. And that seed is blossoming out, and it's stronger than us. So you're going to have holy, wonderful desires showing up inside you. I just want you to anticipate in the year to come. And as we do, we'll be making room for him, room for those things to come into a season of a fruitfulness. Starting with verse number 25, Hebrews 12, see that you do not refuse him. See, it's in our hands. This is what he spoke to me regarding this passage, that he was putting a responsibility on me. See that you don't refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, see, they refused him. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him. There's a definition of refusing him. Somebody says, I wouldn't refuse him, but when you turn away from him, understand how he's interpreting his own scripture to you here. Don't refuse him. Because if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying. If you don't know what he's talking about there, several things. All the way back at original creation, when things went amok, there was a great shaking, such a... I guess some of you know this, maybe some of you don't, but at one time it's understood that the earth was one tremendous mass of land, and the shifting that came because of a great cataclysm, a great shaking, and it actually separated continents, and some people can see by looking at a globe how, if you bring all that back together, how it might fit. And because at one time, and this is another thing that they know by digging down in the depths of the deepest places, underneath the floor of the deepest parts of the ocean, when they dig down under that, they find that the earth at one time, because of the fossils that's there and the remains of life, that the earth at one time was all a tropical or subtropical climate, and that... the kind of animals and the kind of foliage that was covering the earth, you know, they find palm trees under Siberia, in some of the both polar caps. When they dig down, the same kind of fossil remains are under that area as they are when you go to Arizona or to Hawaii. And because at one time the earth was a uniclimate, but a shaking came, and with that shaking, and so that's that original thing. If you don't know, the next time that the earth was shaken in a large way was at Mount Sinai. And if you don't know what he's talking about here, he says, don't refuse the word of the Lord, the leading of the Holy Spirit when he comes, because when he comes, it'll cause a shaking. And so when the word of the Lord came and they refused the word of the Lord, if you don't know, there was a tremendous shaking. God's people have a terrible time at when he's speaking to them, turning off his word or turning away from him and not embracing what he's saying. And it always results in that shaking. Thank God this is the season of another chance, because here's what the thinking is here. It says, if they didn't escape because they refused the one that was speaking to them, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. I thought that was interesting. It says, now I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. How many of you know we're supposed to be praying that it be on the earth like it is in heaven? Does anybody remember the old chorus we used to sing? It says, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down. Does everybody know that the earth made room for heaven at the day when Jesus was born? Heaven, he who came from heaven. When Jesus comes, he says, none of you came from there. I came from heaven. Now heaven has come to earth. Hallelujah. It's a visitation of heaven that has come to earth. Now watch, because he says, now I shake not only the earth, but heaven also. So one of the earmarks of the last great shaking is going to be not only the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom of heaven, the heaven that came down. Do you know who makes up the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom, read the parables, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And you find one pattern after another. If you don't know, always when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, who are we talking about? We're talking about you. Sometimes after Jesus would tell one of those parables, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to, oh, 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a vineyard where all these, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a field with all this wheat, or a vineyard with all these grapes. And it's always talking about us. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a shepherd that lost a sheep and was willing to go after that sheep. Everybody know who we're talking about. We're talking about you. And so when we're talking now about the prophecy about a shaking coming, the other shaking was just for the world. And it was accomplishing things out here, to the shaking of the world. But it says now in these last times there will be coming a shaking. And it makes a point to say, not the world only, but the kingdom, a shaking of heaven. And so I just want you to understand that judgment, as it's being poured out, will begin in the house of the Lord, and it's not a bad thing. It's a washing thing. It's in a time of evaluation. It's a time of eye-opening. It's a time of having exposed our hearts. You know, when the Word of God comes, it always comes to expose, to separate. It says, do you think I came to bring peace and to make you a blessing and blend in with all that's going on here? No, but I came to separate you unto myself. When Moses went up to the mountain of the Lord and was separate from them, how many of you know what was going on down on the lower level? There was all kinds of things going on there while Moses was. Oh, God, would you prepare a generation who would rise up and be in that place with you, in that place of intimacy, like Greg was saying, in that place of your presence, oh, God. While we know all this is going on in the world, I'm not talking about a geographical change now. I'm talking about you abiding in the Holy Spirit, entering into that secret place of the Most High, until the glory of the Lord, that Christ that's in you, the hope of glory, until that glory in you starts to rise up out of your innermost being, shine in your face and transform even your very visage. Let there be a tangible anointing upon a last day's generation, oh God, that would be able to release your glory, that would be able to release your presence. He said there'll be a shaking this time, not only on the earth, but even in the heavens. And here's what the purpose of that shaking. All right, praise God. Yet once more indicates the removal. He says, I'm going to shake the earth, but not just the earth only, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more indicates the removal. When it says, yet once more I'll shake, look what he's going to do. When he says, yet once more I'll shake. In other words, the other shakings didn't remove some things. I'm trying to explain to you why you're still in the level of bondage that you're in. While you're still in the level of darkness of mind that you're in. If there's not manifestations of the glory of God, it's because of the darkness of the minds of men, because Satan has kept our minds in that darkness. I'm telling you, there's a shaking coming. And the positive of that is the glory of the Lord that is deposited in you is going to begin to break free. The light of his presence, hallelujah. That little tiny candlelight, this little light of mine, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the glory of God, that candle that you have, is going to turn into the sun of righteousness. His glory will begin. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Not even a shadow of turning before he's done with us. Hallelujah. Wonderful news. Watch. Yet once more. Now this, yet once more, when he says that, yet once more, indicates the removal. See, we know Jesus is coming, don't we? Won't it be great? The shaking prior to his coming makes way for this. Watch. The removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I just wanted to put it in present tense here because that's the way he did. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. How many of you would love to see God's people who are bound up be set free? Would anybody like to see it? For our God is a consuming fire. When God was ready to deliver his people Israel, and he had to raise up a deliverer in their midst, Old Testament type and shadow, it's Moses. New Testament seed time, who is it? It's Jesus. Come on. Come on. Get with me. Think with. And so God says to Moses, I'm going to use you. Deliverance is coming. 2 million Hebrews are going to be set free from slavery. This is Old Testament type and shadow. Watch. And so Moses says, well, what is the sign that God is going to give to Moses that's going to let him know? How does he know this is really coming from God? How does God appear to Moses with that call that I'm gonna deliver these people from slavery in your generation? Our God is a consuming fire. Let me show you that it's consuming. I'm showing you the fulfillment of it. Did you ever come on? Moses saw the burning bush. Everybody say burning bush. Tell me the characteristics of that burning bush. It consumed everything, but it wasn't consumed. Our God is a consuming fire, and it consumed everything, but it and that which was of it is not consumed. Does everybody understand how God fulfilled? In other words, I'm linking this with your deliverance. I'm linking this with you being set free from your bondage of Egypt. When Jesus comes, John the Baptist announced him, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hear him, listen to him, follow him. I've come to announce him. Tell me something about him. I've come and I'll baptize you with the baptism of repentance. He will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Here we are, Last Days Church. When the prophet Malachi prophesied about the coming of the day of Messiah, He said there's going to be several things that will. First of all, there's going to be a Levitical priesthood, a priesthood that has been so dry and barren that it's going to lead into silent years. But in the middle of that, I'm going to come with these signs. Watch them. Fuller's soap. Refiner's fire. Who knows what refiner's fire is? But the verse is just fire. You know, I mean, you can get in the fire, but when the purpose of the refiner's fire, he's letting you know. And who's he talking about? If you don't know, this is the priesthood. I'm talking about, see, he's going to shake now not only earth, but heaven also. The kingdom, the priesthood is going to go through this shaking. In the prophecy that led to the coming of Messiah, the book of Malachi. The refiner's fire, the refiner. What is it, the process of refining? Tell me something about it. What's that fire do? It brings to surface the imperfection so it can be removed. Come on, everybody say removed. Hallelujah. And now, here in these last days, a church being raised up that says, oh God, we long for your presence. We long for your glory. And the Lord who hasn't changed, who was the consuming fire there, and it was the consuming fire at seed time, and now appearing in millionfold or hundreds of millions maybe across the world, the refiner's fire, the fire of the Lord to do two things, to manifest the darkness, to remove it, that which can't be shaken might remain. You've got something in you that is going to come shining forth before long. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, praise God. So that's the removal. And so I don't know what you think needs to be removed, but the removal of pride from our lives. I just had a quick look. I just glanced back at God's servants through time. And every time that he wanted to use one of them to bring deliverance, to bring healing, there's always the same process. They almost always had to go through some season of refining, some season where they were having things removed out of them, because the God who does not change would start showing up in their life with that which will remain. The removal of pride, the removal of status, and the caring of status. What a hold it has on our lives. The love of possessions, the love of this world, when the scripture just says we don't know how to interpret it. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For if you, and then it's so strong, it says, for if you love the world and the things that are in the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. I just want you to get, now watch, because how many of you, I know that the love of the Father is in me, but is not able to be seen, not able to flow out. I know that somewhere in me there's been living water that's been given. Have you got it? Then, Lord, let the springing up of that water flow. Let the water come through the house of God, under the door seal, and flood into our city, oh God, with holy presence, the removal of those things. Favor and acceptance of peers, how strong a hold it has on us, the blending in with Babylon and those Babylonish ways. It's amazing how even God's servants, God's people, have a longing for Babylonish garments, for gold and silver and possessions, and say, Lord, we want your glory to be released. And says, you've got trouble in your camp. And some things that are buried have got to be brought to surface and removed. And as soon as those were removed, deliverance came. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait for the world to get better for deliverance to come. You need to see the church becoming holy in the presence of the Lord by the intimacy of his presence, and the world will see that God sent his Son. Amen. Well, I guess that's all I had to share about that. I wonder what might remain. You know, we are aware of things that need to be removed, but there's some things that are going to remain. I'll tell you, a true love for God is going to be remaining, and a true love for others. And if you love God, then you'll love these. And I don't know how many of you have a struggle just having compassion on other people. I don't know, Greg mentioned a guy like Jonah, who is God's servant. He's got a prophetic mantle on him. And a guy with a prophetic mantle on him, delighting in seeing a generation of evildoers be punished for their evil. And it wasn't the heart of God. I said that wasn't the heart of God. The heart of God was that mercy would be shown. The heart of God is that these people would have their eyes open, and that they'd be healed and restored. And so the church, having room for evangelism, having room for the mercy of the Lord to be able to flow out of us, there's going to be a remaining. In the most practical ways, I just want you to know, boy, the enemy is so at work destroying basic building blocks like families. And the prophecy for the day of the glory of the Lord is that the hearts of the fathers would be turned, would be returned to the children, to their sons and their daughters. And in that day, then the sons and daughters' heart would be returned to the Father. And so we have families being restored. See, that which remains, that which is sure, might remain and be set. There are By the way, I don't know if there's anybody in the house that was in our church when Ken and Marge Studeville and their family. Some of you remember the Studevilles. Marge Studeville passed away this last week, sudden brain aneurysm. And we had their kids in school, and the, just a precious family. Ken was a strong Methodist and always did a home church. And his wife, driving by while we were building the church out there, they lived way out on 191st Street and about Flum, way out in the country. And she would drive by. She worked at Honeywell for 25 years, and she would drive by every day while we was building that church. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, bring your family here, and I'm gonna water them. And I've got that written down now. She wrote that word down like 30 years ago. And so she went home and told her husband, and he said, well, I don't know if I want to go there or not. And she says, well, just come and try. They came in and for one service, and then they never missed for the next few years. A service, and their whole family experienced a great time of watering and blessing. And but as happens sometimes, that they were just confessing to me that God brought a ministry gift and a church family to us. And for one reason or another, I'm telling you some of the things that we hold on to. For one reason or another, they got away from that, and they went back and did their own little thing, which is fine. You can do that, you know. But does everybody know that one joint supplies to another joint? Does everybody know that if you just have one joint by itself, you can't get much done? Does everybody know that without muscles and sinews and tendons and the strength that you ought to be able to have? I mean, stay plugged in. And I'm not saying that they haven't stayed plugged in, but I'm just saying they just confessed to me, says, we have so... I met with them. I walked into their home to meet with them to plan a funeral for Marge Studeville. We'll do it Tuesday morning on Spring Hill. But I walked into their home, walked right into the presence of God. Such a strong presence there. I was so thankful. I immediately broke and started to worship. The whole family gathered in. They started to worship with us. And the presence of God just flooded the place. And they said, you know what they said? Oh, we have so missed the body of Christ. It's not that we aren't the body, but there is something different that is released. I'm telling you, Ken hugged my neck. I thought he never would let me go. And he said, you know what it's like? He said, it's like you haven't even been gone for 20 years. When he spoke that to me, my heart went right to the scripture. It says, I know it's because that which remains is the same. There's some things that are going to remain. Some of you see, we have a connection in the Lord. Some of you with me, some of you with our church. Don't let it get stolen. Don't let it get, somebody says, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like them, and I don't like this way. Listen, let some things go. There's some real things you don't want to let them go. There's some real connection. There's some real things of the Spirit that you don't want to let go. God will deal and work the other things out. Tell me, do you believe with me? Don't give up on your kids. Let me tell you, if you don't get down to the place where, all right. I mean, I've done this with a couple of my kids. Thank God I was able to repent. And I said, okay, if you do, then that's it. Oh, you know, God's never spoken that to me. I said, you know, God's never spoken that to me. He's always had an open door for me. I had to repent. I said, oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm not like you. I want to be like you. Expand my heart. Because some things will remain. Your family is going to remain. Stay plugged in. You know, your calling is going to remain. I do my best. The reason that I like to be around other churches and other pastors, and I go to those minister meetings. But every time I do, I always come away, and then I find myself falling into this trap of trying to be like them. Because I see what they're doing and where they're going, and this is what it is. And so I start to do those things, and I have to come home and be shaken and come back to, this is what I called you to do. This is what, and believe it or not, I'll make you a blessing to them if you just do what I called you to do and don't be like them. I remember I went down to Oral Roberts University and went through a little tour that they take you, and the very first thing when Brother Roberts was starting his ministry as God separated him to himself and spoke these words to him. He says, don't be like other men. And then he went on to say, don't be like other ministers. Because there's a calling inside of you. I just want you to know that there's a presence inside of you. There's a uniqueness inside of you. Keep coming back to it. Embrace that. Now see, when you let other things come in, they take the place of that. I'm persuaded that the every born-again believer is an evangelist. But we're not. Why? Because of all that we have our hands on. Now, when the Holy Spirit explodes, how many of you know in New Testament time that the entire church, the entire New Testament church, on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I know that we've been taught that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's not the one I'm talking about, I don't think. I'm not talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit so you can build your church and build your empire and sell your tapes. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Where has that gone? What happened to that calling? What happened to that willingness to whatever it takes, Lord? Along the way, there's the guy that needs to be ministered to. Why can't I do it? Because of what I'm holding on to. What needs to be released so that that which remains can come to surface. God's got a call upon your life. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. Let me finish up. I love the way the Lord confirms. I think it's partly a sign of weakness when you need to have confirmation. But it's also a sign of the kingdom, because this is what I'm talking about. How many of you know that when one-fold is pretty strong, two-fold, manifold, you know what the wisdom of God is called? The manifold wisdom of God. Manifold wisdom of God. When we're talking about a rope, you have one string, and you tug on it a little bit, you tug a little more, and you can break it. You put two together, twine them, you pull them. Now you're a little bit stronger. Pull hard. You still might be able to break it. But he said a three or a four cord string cannot be broken. We get strong. So what's the, when the Holy Spirit ministers something to you, and then on the heels of that, another ministry comes and reveals that to you, God establishing something in you, that which is real might remain. Okay, I just want to read to you. There's a, I want to tell you who somebody, a friend that I consider somebody has a prophetic mantle upon them. See, different callings, but I just stand back and listen. Somebody that has a prophetic mantle on them. I had this on Monday morning, and so I sent word to Donna. I gave that little devotion to her to write in your bulletin, and then here, I've got this. How you doing? On Tuesday, I believe, I get this in the mail. Here's what it says. I'm just reading a part of it because what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It says, it's wonderful how God has provided for the Life Center this last year. It's great to see the physical improvements over the last year. We're thankful for it, aren't we? And I see spiritual stirrings within the hearts of people. And then he starts talking to me. Pastor, keep leaning forward. Don't lean so far that you lose today. Look forward to tomorrow and rest in God today. He has a plan and it's going to come together. Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint. Wait on the Lord and trust in him. Now listen, I don't know when, but I see a storm ahead. I'm talking about a shaking. See, I see a storm ahead, the likes of which, listen to the terminology here, the phraseology, the likes of which I do not think any of us have ever seen. The Holy Spirit woke me up on Monday morning in the middle of the night saying, like you've never seen 2015. I see a storm coming, the likes of which we've never seen. I even see people rising in opposition against us. But Jesus says that he is and will continue to be with us. I don't know if you hear what happens or not. Some things are going to be removed so that that which can't be removed can come fully into manifestation. That he is with us. Let the shaking come. Along with the storm, says that we simply need to keep our eyes on him. Along with the storm, I see joy unspeakable and a place of shelter. The church's greatest days are ahead. Don't lose today by looking for tomorrow. God's been faithful in the past. He's faithful today. He's going to continue to be faithful tomorrow. Let your eyes get fixed on him. I just see how the Lord confirmed that word. I said, well, I don't know if I should follow up on that or not. And it's a word worthy of being followed up on. All right, praise God. Don't let ministry gifts be slipping from you. For time's sake, I'm not going to give you my next point, but here's what we're going to do now in the next couple services. I have several more points about how Jesus came to fulfill Old Testament scriptures. That might seem legalistic, you know, that it's necessary that he do those things, but it's prophetic, and if you'll see it in the right light, then those things will start being nurtured in you, because this is the harvest time of everything that he's done. It's coming to life in you. It's coming to fruition in you. How many of you know he died, but it has to happen in you? How many of you know he's risen from the dead, but it has to happen in you? How many of you know he ascended into the presence of God and was totally restored, but it has to happen in you? And there as it happened in that seed time, now in mass, the glory of the Lord is bringing all of these things to pass. The points that we've covered so far is Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Jesus at seed time, Old Testament seed time, and then as we look at today, we're seeing these things happen in harvest time. First of all, it was the Messiah would be born of a woman. I'm just rehearsing these. I want you to make sure you have them. So remember Genesis 3:15. It says that the seed of the woman, everybody say the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. I don't know why he would say, you know, somebody, they didn't know why it would be the seed of the woman. I showed you that immediately something came to pass. It slipped right by us, and people, I've never even read in a commentary where they have any understanding about that conflict between Cain and Abel. But immediately, they didn't understand it. In fact, if you were to interpret the story, it looks like Abel got the raw end of the deal and Cain won, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like that to you? Because Abel died. Or did he? It says that his blood cried out and kept crying out for every generation. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. In New Testament time, Jesus was born. Galatians 4, I think verse number 4, says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. How was he born? Born of a woman, the seed of a woman. Did he bruise the head of the serpent? Hallelujah, with his life and his death and with his resurrection, he bruised the head of the serpent. Now, here we are at the in the space of time. We can see the history of it, but if it doesn't happen in you, then it doesn't happen. But if it did happen, then it is happening. And it did happen, and it is happening. Hallelujah, it's a mystery. It's the mystery of the gospel. It's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. What woman are we talking about when we get to New Testament time? What woman are we talking about when we talk about the last day's church? Anybody know? It's the bride of Christ. When we see New Testament time, before long I'll teach you about the virgin birth. Why? That young woman had to be moved upon and overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. If it had never happened, then there wouldn't be any hope for the manifestation, the coming of Messiah. But it did happen. Somebody says, well, I know I got that historic happening. You know, they look back, and even unbelievers, a lot of them are believing that Jesus was really born and that something miraculous happened there. But can you believe that can happen to you? Can you believe his Holy Spirit can overshadow you and form in you something holy and something that's of incorruptible seed? We'll do that in a more exhaustive way before long. So the seed of the woman is the church, if you don't know what I'm talking about. The woman, the last days, woman, where the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, hallelujah, is something's rising up in the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, and it'll come to fruition in mass. Number two was the Messiah would be a descendant of Abraham. It was prophesied. Genesis 12, verse number 3, through him, through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's a God thing. That's the coming of the Lord. He's prophesying the coming of Jesus. And so there is in the Old Testament. And in that seed time then in the New Testament time, when it says Jesus, because it was important to the Jews that he would fulfill all those Old Testament prophecies. So it starts off with the lineage of Jesus. And Jesus was the son, called the son of Abraham. Amen. Does anybody know that Paul goes off in Galatians assuring some of you who are even Gentiles that you are now the seed of Abraham? I'm telling you, when he prophesied about Abraham, he prophesied about Jesus. When he prophesied about Jesus, he prophesied about you who are in Christ Jesus. So the prophecy has come to pass. So what is it that we have in common with Abraham? Abraham was a friend of God. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus told his disciples. I don't know. See if they get it. See, all these other people out here, but Jesus having intimate conversations with his disciples, visiting with them. And he says, listen, guys, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends, because the servant knoweth not what the master doeth, but you're my friends, and I'll share openly with you. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was an intercessor. Abraham stood in the gap and see deliverance come for his children in the coming generations. Abraham was the father of something. Father of what? Faith. Abraham believed God and didn't stagger at the promises of God. I'm prophesying over you. Just as surely as it came to pass in Jesus, it's coming to pass now in the bride of Christ and in those who are in Christ Jesus. A generation that won't stagger at the promises of God. A generation, hallelujah, that's willing to leave everything. Abraham, come out, follow me. Separate yourself from that generation. Separate yourself even from your family and your possessions, and I will start to pour out my blessing upon you and all the families of the earth. It's prophesied. You know what he prophesied between? It says, Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars of the heaven, like the sand of the sea. That's a lot. Jesus comes. He was seeing something that made him willing. It says, for the joy set before him, he was willing to endure. Abraham, I want you to take your son and sacrifice into me. And Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God and didn't bat an eye. There's no argument here. And he was willing to take, how could he do such a thing? How could Jesus be willing to give up all that he had and die on the cross? It says, for the joy set before him. What joy are we talking about? Does anybody know what joy we're talking about? For the promise that there's going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands upon thousands that are going to be brought in. A last day's church embracing that promise. After Abraham, it says, Jesus is going to be of the seed of Isaac. Tell me something about Isaac. What do you know about Isaac? Do you love Isaac? See, what a shame we don't even hardly know him. When Jesus is of the seed of Isaac, let those prophecies be fulfilled. It was important to the Jewish people. It ought to be important to us who have been grafted in now. Anybody know anything about Isaac? Well, before Isaac came, he had one older brother, didn't he? Ishmael. Ishmael was the product of somebody's endeavor. Isaac was the product of God. God moving, doing that which is impossible. It's the gift of grace in the midst of a generation. What could not be done with the efforts of men or by the law is done in Christ Jesus. Jesus came and fulfilled that Isaac prophecy. Tell me something about Isaac. What's your favorite story about Isaac? Well, I already mentioned it once, but Abraham took his son Isaac up the mountain. That mountain turned out to be Mount Calvary, if you don't know, in the New Testament. And sacrifice your son. And Abraham, like his dad, didn't seem to bat an eye, but ask a simple question. Dad, where are we going? He says, we're going up the mountain to sacrifice. He looked around and he says, Dad, he knew the routine. I see the wood, I see the fire, and I see the knife in your belt. Where's the lamb? And Abraham picked up Isaac and put Isaac on the wood. And Abraham loved his son, but was willing to sacrifice him. His son loved his father and was willing to become the sacrifice. Now, I don't know if you heard or not, I just prophesied over you. Because as he is, so are you in the world. How many of you know Jesus fulfilled that prophecy? Did he fulfill that prophecy? He did, didn't he? How many of you know that same Jesus is the one who lives inside of you? How many of you know every day when you live, Paul got hold of this, he says, my Lord, I'm starting to get it. I just want to put myself on the wood of this altar every day and become a sacrifice. I want to present myself to him, a living sacrifice. And that also fulfills this scripture. Because when he was willing to be sacrificed, God said, you don't have to die that way. Provision has already been made. It's a prophecy fulfilled in the body of Christ over Isaac. Well, do we die or do we live? We die so we can live. We're willing to die. We're willing to give all this up so that we can walk with him, know him, enjoy the fullness of his presence. Jesus would be born called the seed of Jacob. Tell me something about Jacob. Because, see, there was a lineage. See, Abraham had a lot of children, didn't he? But Jesus comes from the lineage of Isaac. He wants you to get that. Because that's who you are now in Christ. Isaac has sons, but the one son, Jacob, is going to be, that's the lineage, it's going to come down. As it comes down, Jesus is going to come through the lineage of Jacob. What do you know about Jacob? Because prophetically, here it comes. You ready? Jacob has another brother also, doesn't he? His brother's Esau. Esau and Jacob. Tell me something about them. What's Esau love? The world. What's Jacob love? Seems to love God, seems to love the things of the Spirit. How do I know? Because the inheritance, the being the heir, was on Esau, and he was willing to trade the inheritance of his father for the things of this world. And there was another man that was willing to trade what he had in this world for the things that belonged to the Father. I prophesied over you again. Come on, are you hearing it? How many of Jesus fulfilled that? Does everybody see it? When Jesus came, he told all these stories about the older brother and the younger one. The older one and the younger one. The older one and the younger one. The older one's always got the heart for the world. The younger one's always got the heart for the Father. Come on, get your identity, church. You're the younger one. Amen. You're in Christ Jesus. He's in you. Jesus comes in. Here's this, all this Levitical priesthood. Boy, they're all dressed up. They got on their turban. They got on their outfits. If you get an outfit, you can be one too. Smothers Brothers. 1971. Listen to this flashback. At the Purple Onion, Smothers Brothers at the Purple Onion. You want to hear it? Tommy and Dickie. Tommy looks at Dickie and says, I see. They come out and they're wearing these cowboy outfits. And he says, I see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. And the other one answers, I see by your outfit that you're a cowboy too. And then they put their arms around each other and they go, we see by our outfits that we are both cowboys. And then to the audience, if you get an outfit, you can be a cowboy too. Do you hear what that means? How many of you believe if you get an outfit, you can be a cowboy? It's not in the outfit, is it? Jesus comes and he sees all this. They're all dressed up like it. But he's the real deal. Come on, I'm prophesying over you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. You know what he does? He takes lepers and he takes tax collectors and he takes whoremongers and he takes harlots. and he makes them to be his priesthood. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Tell me something else about Jacob. When you think of Jacob, what's your favorite story about Jacob? Anybody? The ladders, Jacob's ladder. Tell me something about Jacob's ladder. What did Jacob see? He saw heaven opened up, praise God. And he saw angels descending and ascending. Ministry of angels. He's prophesying over you. Now, was it fulfilled in Jesus? Did Jesus come through the seed of Jacob? Did he? When he, at his birth, does everybody see? What happened? Heaven was heaven opened up? What was the sign that heaven was opened up? Angels. Here they all come. And there was with. A heavenly host, see, singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Here comes ministry of angels. So all the way through the life of Jesus. In fact, at every one of his crucial times, he was always there. Can I just remind you that God's given his angels charge over you? You remember Charles and Francis Hunter? Healing ministers, you know, just sent for a specific time to get a specific thing done on the earth. One of their great stories was that they noticed Charles and Francis, they'd be ministering up there, and wherever city that they would go to, they would look out and about, and the same place in the congregation all the time, there would be three or four that they'd see. And they thought, these people are crazy. Said, they're coming. Last week they were in Houston. This week we're in Des Moines. And they must have flown to Des Moines to be with us. And then they go to the next station, and there would be, they'd be sitting out there. I said, man, these are real fans. These are real supporters, you know. I wonder who they are. You know how she finally found out? One time, they got on the airplane. And Charles says to Francis, Francis, look back there. And they look back, and in the back seats on the airplane, there was two of them, two of the same people that they kept seeing in their meetings. Says, well, that's, you know, I can understand that. You know, they were following them, were going to be with them. That's not the end of the story. They're in flight, and the airplane comes into turbulence. How many of you heard this? Did you read this in the book? Airplane comes into turbulence. And they tell everybody, put their seatbelts back on, and we're, you know, this airplane start to shake. And Francis tells Charles, their window's right by the wing. Francis says to Charles, Charles, look out there and see if you see anything. And one of those people that they thought was just people was out there on the wing of that plane in the midst of that turbulence because he's given his angels charge over you. Does anybody know that? See, you'll entertain angels unaware. I mean, and so it came to pass, and they said, wow. They had to hold that for a long time because they knew nobody would believe it. But we'll believe, won't we? You know why? Because this is the season. Because Jesus fulfilled the prophecies over Jacob. And now that Jesus is the Jesus that's in you. And this is harvest time. All right, next time we get together, I'm going to do Judah. I said that's what I do today. But it's prophesied from the tribe of Judah that Jesus would be born. It's a radical prophecy. This fulfilled in Christ and now coming to pass in the body of Christ. And I'll tell you what that means next time we get together. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord, for fulfilling all of the word of God, all the prophecies. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful time of the coming of Jesus when what was recorded back there actually was lived out. The word became flesh. The stories were lived out in this one that came. And now here we are, and you've come to abide in us. And you said what we ought to learn to do is abide in you. And if we'll abide in you, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the same fruit that came pouring out of Jesus would come pouring out of us. So that today there's not just one who comes, but there's a myriad coming in the name of the Lord. This is too much to grasp in one setting, but I'm going to run through it real quick for you. And you probably can't even see these words back there, but the space of time, I just want you to get. Garden was before time. The garden restored after time. Eternity, time being the space right here. In the middle of the space of time, we've got one coming. I'm setting the scene. Old Testament time, seed time, harvest time. Real quick, get this. Over here at the beginning, we've got 2 million plus Hebrews who are enslaved in Egypt. And so that's a lot of people, 2 million plus. We've got a great number of people over there. We've got coming out of that, as they get set free, we've got a number of things happening, working our way down to the coming of Jesus. We've got an establishing of a priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. We've got a tabernacle that's going to be built by the instructions of God. We've got a temple that's being on the heels of the tabernacle comes the temple. Tabernacle being that movable presence, temple being a set, established presence of God. During that time, we've got judges and kings and prophets and shepherds and pastors. They're called there even in the Old Testament time. All of these things pointing to the coming of one. The reason that there was a priesthood is because a priest was coming. The reason that there was a tabernacle is because there was one who would come, who would be tabernacling with his Father. The reason that there was a temple in the Old Testament is that there was one who was coming, who would be the very cornerstone of the temple of God that would be built in the days to come. The reason that there were judges and kings and prophets and shepherds and pastors is all this being fulfilled in Jesus, who is the priest, the prophet, and the king. Does everybody know that everything that was done over here points to the one that was coming? Now watch. Now, because now we're on this side. This is a miracle of time here. I used to do this on a piece of paper, and then at the end we'd fold the paper together, this being the middle, and you'd find out that what was over here is what was over there. Only tremendously increased, exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or ask. Over here, look what we had. We had 2 million plus Hebrews that were enslaved that God brought out and made them his heirs, brought them into a place called the Promised Land. Isn't that cool? Guess what you have over here? Now watch, that group, the priesthood comes out of that group. Priesthood. We've got over here a priesthood, but now prophesied about this generation, a royal priesthood, a combination. When I teach you about Judah, the significance of filling, coming from the tribe of Judah, is so important. The royal priesthood. On this side, see the tabernacle on that side? The tabernacle on this side is the good news is Jesus became the tabernacle, but you can tabernacle with your heavenly Father. Did you know it? You become the temple of the Holy Spirit, the rebuilt temple. Over here, we've got a young man who was from the wrong tribe, but dared to become a priest. I'll teach that when I do Judah. And now we've got people everywhere daring to come into the presence of God and rejoice and be used of him. We got a rebuilt temple. Now we've got ministry gifts being restored. Like there was judges. Let me tell you the difference here. One judge at a time. Two judges until there were a divided kingdom. And then sometimes there were two judges, but usually, just one king, two kings over and until there was a divided kingdom. Two kings at that time. Usually the prophets, very few of the prophets were contemporary. That is, they didn't live at the same time. Sometimes they did, but there was usually just one voice to be heard. One voice to be heard at a time. Sometimes it worked its way into a season where there was silent years and there was no voices to be heard. No living word, no living prophecies. Listen. Look what happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon this side of the cross. And everything that was in in type and shadow over here is fulfilled exceeding abundantly more than you can think or ask. It was all fulfilled in this seed time in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that the judge, the king, the prophet, the shepherd, the pastor of pastors was all in one bundle that came in Christ Jesus, wasn't it? Come on, are you embracing this or not? That which was in Old Testament type and shadow was all fulfilled in Christ Jesus, but that's not the end of the story. Here's the story. That Christ Jesus, that word that became flesh, is living and abiding in you. And you have now become the temple. You have become the tabernacle of God. You have become that priesthood. Those 2 million, see, in type and shadow, 2 million people getting set free. That's pretty good. At the cross, Jesus set them all free. But it has to be lived out. You're the living out of that prophecy. You're the manifesting of that. So here we are. Hallelujah. All of these things pointing to Jesus, all of things on this side pointing back to Jesus, saying who we are now because of him and in him. Isn't it wonderful news? And when you get to here, you know where you're going to be? Where you were before this whole thing ever started. Isn't it wonderful news? It's called restoration. It's called what was stolen from you being restored. This is the plan of God. And you've received Jesus, and now these things are coming to pass in you. It's wonderful news. Amen? All right, praise God. All right, thanks to the Lord. We'll look forward to next time being together. We'll probably do this on Wednesday night, not this Wednesday, but we'll be going on next Sunday and then the following Wednesday night, just sharing with you the fulfillment of a number of prophecies, how Jesus fulfilled them in seed time and how they're being fulfilled now. Father, we thank you for the everlasting word of God. Let's just return back to this. Lord, we wanted to tell you that we're willing to actively and aggressively let go of things that need to be removed. Things that have held us back. Things that have stolen our joy and we don't even know it. Things that have kept us from our callings. Lord, we're asking for grace to be released through the body of Christ now. Asking for a repositioning. It's been prophesied that a shifting has already taken place in the heavens. Let it take place on the earth. A shaking that would take place not on the earth only, but in the heavens. Lord, in the seat of that heavenly authority that's in everybody's spirit. Lord, let the shaking take place. That which is going to remain will remain. That which is everlasting, O God. Father, we're asking for hearts for your kingdom. We're asking to see like you see, feel what you feel. We're asking that we could be the embodiment on the earth of the love of God. Asking that the love of God would flow out of us, Lord, like you flowed out of Jesus. I just speak it over every individual in here today in Jesus' name, that as he is, so are you in the world. You are in him and he is in you. These two are intertwined, and your union with him will bring forth fruit. Fruit is always produced after its own kind. You have made room for the word of God. It will produce after its own kind. He looks over his word. It will produce after its kind. Jesus came and fulfilled those prophecies. Now Jesus is in us. Let the fulfillment flow out of our lives, O God. Shake what needs to be shaken. Remove what needs to be removed. And establish, O God, that eternity thing in us. Your eternal heart, your eternal ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. See what's going to be seen in 2015. It's going to be some incredible stuff coming. Lord bless you. Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 2015. Amen.